Welcome to the Herbal Womb Wisdom Podcast, where we explore the embodied practice of herbalism with the womb at the center for folks who are new to herbs or herbalists in the making. This is a place to become empowered to include herbs and natural therapies in your personal health and, most importantly, to reconnect to the deep wisdom and healing capacity of your own body and the earth. I'm your host, clinical herbalist and integrative health educator, Kaelea Honeybee. Let's dive in. Hi, beautiful friends. Welcome. Welcome back if you're returning. Welcome. Welcome if you're new. So excited to be here with you today. I really am. I am bringing on a very special guest today whose name is Robin Rose Bennett. You may be familiar with her just through being in the herbal community or some of her books that she's put out over the years. Or maybe even if you've been listening to this podcast for a long time from the episode with Misha Schuler where we talked about wild carrot, and or from the episode with Liz Neves where we talked about connecting with plants where you are, wherever you are. That was just from this past summer. So both of them had named Robin Rose Bennett as a significant influence in their herbalism. And if you think back to either of those episodes, there was very much this embodied relationship with the plants and with wisdom, the wisdom of being with the earth and the seasons and cultivating relationship. So as I'm speaking this, I am just thinking about this conversation with Robin Rose that I'm about to share with you, and it is just full, full of drops of wisdom. And in her introduction, truly, in her introduction, she drops lots of wisdom. So everything, we talk about her path to becoming the herbalist that she is right now. She's been an herbalist for 35 plus years. She's written multiple books. She's really deeply steeped in the world of herbalism. And she also calls herself in a very bold way, in quotes, a green witch. And we talk about how she came to embrace that term and how it really was an intentional choice many years ago to do that and what it means to her and just this sense of reclaiming who we are as humans, who we are as humans with wombs. Those of us who have wombs naturally have a deep connection to the earth and also to that creative center. Of course, all of us, no matter what body we're in, have a relationship to our creative center. We all have that second chakra in our bodies. But those of us with wombs have this kind of actual physical creation space that we can connect with. And we do talk because Robin Rose is somebody who has had a relationship. Well, she cultivated a relationship with her womb as well throughout the years. So she talks about how her relationship with her womb has changed over time through her cycling years into perimenopause and then menopause. And then now as she's heading into her elder years, just reflecting on that relationship, she shares her womb story. And I think that's a really precious thing. It's like a gift that we're being given to listen to somebody's womb story. It's not something we get to hear very often. So that in itself is a pretty neat offering in this episode. And she also shares about herbs. She shares a couple of recipes towards the end. She shares about her new book that she has coming out, which is absolutely full of wisdom. This is a beautiful episode. This is one that I feel like is not to be missed because of all of the wisdom and the beauty and her eloquence. It's just a really lovely interview. So clearly, I'm very excited to share it with you. I'm going to just dive into the disclaimer now that nothing that I share today or that we share today is medical advice whatsoever. We are both herbalists, and everything that we share is for your own personal information and education, for your own empowerment, for you to dive into more deeply if you feel drawn to it, to research more or to explore it in your own body, and really feel into your own body and your own womb space to feel what's true and right for you, because your body always knows best. Your being, your womb always knows best. And if you have any specific conditions or concerns, health conditions or concerns, then seek out a practitioner that feels good for you to work with, who you feel like you can trust and really dive into a relationship with, a healing relationship with. Okay, second disclaimer is that there are gendered pronouns used throughout this episode. Specifically, women, I believe, is used regularly throughout the episode. So that is just a heads up for you as you're listening to be aware of that. But this is absolutely appropriate for anyone, truly anyone in any body, but especially for those of us with wombs, it's a very relevant episode. Okay, here's the interview.
Welcome, Robin Rose. It really is an honor to have you here. I mean, just to welcome you into this space, to have you on the podcast, I'm really looking forward to hearing some of your wisdom from your lived experience and just knowing that I've heard your name for the whole time that I have been studying herbalism. And I haven't personally gone deep into the work that you offer, but I just have heard of you. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Kaya. It's really, really lovely to be here. And I look forward to our conversation.
Yay. So let's start by you introducing yourself, just what your background is and what your work is now and why you do what you do.
Wow. Okay. That's a 3-week long podcast, but let me pick out a few things. So to introduce myself, my name is Robin Rose Bennett. And in fact, a lot of people would not know that I actually adopted the name Rose as a way to bring back my dad's mother, my grandmother on my mother's side, who was a woman who was, to put it in an understated way, not treated well and very isolated. And anyway, this story for another time. But I realize I haven't really spoken about that. And so that just wanted to come out right now. So Rose is in honor of my grandmother, who I learned later was also called Rosie. So I like that too. Yeah. So I came to herbs via my spirituality, actually. I had been deeply, deeply involved in a spiritual teaching environment with a couple of teachers from when I was very, very young. And I loved and still love the work that I did with them to the extent that I have they're both ancestors now, but I have a link to a website of theirs on my site, on my resources page. Some of their students put together so that their teachings and writings would remain alive beyond their physical existence. So I was doing this work, which was centered around embracing your wholeness and particularly emotional wholeness, emotional healing, kind of like a yin yang, right? And learning to accept all parts of yourself. And it was beautiful and still is beautiful work. However, what I gradually began to realize over a decade or so was that the work was still not grounded in, it led me into herbalism, which led me into really being in my body in an entirely new way. Like the spiritual work was beautiful and evolutionary, but it kept me into the mind, into the intellect, even separating feelings from physicality. And it was very much about love, which I enjoyed very much. But what happened with moving into herbalism, herbal medicine in the mid-1980s was that this way of embracing wholeness and approaching life through love, which is not always soft. Love can be very fierce, like think of a mother bear, right, protecting her cub, made the spiritual teachings grounded for me. And really, whereas before I had a lot of highs, a lot of transcendent experiences, what happened with the marriage of the spiritual work and the physical work of herbal medicine and just plant connection, nature connection, was a new to me experience of joy at being alive in a body. Right? It was no longer about transcendent experiences. It was about imminent, I-M-M-A-N-E-N-T. Not imminent, like coming soon, imminent where spirit is in everything. It was a new level. And what's happened is that that has been sustained and only grown, for which I'm very grateful. So I came to herbalism looking for answers to health problems, and I dove in and found that and so much more. I found a sense of belonging, both with plant people community and especially essential to the earth, to the world, like belonging, belonging here, the way a dandelion knows it belongs here, the way a motherwort knows she belongs here. And that is entirely new to me. That was never something I had felt before. So I often think that the greatest side effect of herbal medicine is the awakening of kinship, which is the best antidote I've ever found to loneliness and a sense of being isolated, you know, which is a very human thing to feel, right? Because we're meant to be in relation with the living world. And that's been kind of talked out of us. You know, your people are made to feel silly or shamed if they talk to a bird or they talk to a tree or they talk, you know what I mean? I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
And yet this is a path to awakening, evolving, growing your consciousness, and ultimately to becoming who you really are, right? For each of us to become who we are meant to be, which in the simplest terms is ourself. So I don't know if I answered everything you asked me, but that is, you know, a little bit of my story. Mm. And if you have other questions, ask. How's that?
Yeah, I love that. I love the way that you describe that. I feel like I very much relate in my own way to, I think when I came to herbalism, I also had a background in spirituality. I'd been to India and I was like very into that sort of meditation, like transcendent energy, and then came to back to the US and was like, I don't have any practical skills. And then I realized, oh, I started farming, but then I came into herbal medicine and I was just like, this is where, yeah, just like you're saying, this weaving together of embodied experience of essentially being a spiritual being in a body and connecting with the earth. It's just, it's so profound. And I totally relate to that sense of belonging and kinship. It's so beautiful. The way you put that was so beautiful. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. And I, you know, and it's not just you and it's not just me, because I've seen this come alive in my students over these decades, you know, again and again and again and again. And how the plants do it for us, I don't know. I just know that they do. And I'm grateful.
So grateful. We are so lucky to be in relationship with these plants. Yes. Yes. And I guess a question that I have is, what are you doing now in the world of herbalism?
Well, let's see. I have my apprenticeship programs that are 3-year programs. I have 2 that I run at once for a number of years, not right now, but I was also doing a men's circle. And that was pretty great. And the men loved having a place where they not only were learning, but where they were encouraged to, you know, both be vulnerable and to fully support one another. So that was fantastic, really. But I'm not doing that right now. And the men graduated and the other men who wanted to continue, you know, moved and you know, just practicalities. So I have my apprenticeship program and I have been doing apprenticeships for a really long time now. And I do that outside at my own home, other than field trips, which the really fully outside part started during 2020 as a way in you during COVID, because though I do teach online and I have learned, I don't mean this pridefully, I'm just astonished and grateful for this. I have learned I do have the ability and gift of creating community in online classes and making them experiential. So I've had a great time learning to do that. And that's allowed me to reach people all over the world without having to go everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that is really great. But when I tried to do it in the small circle of apprenticeship, we wanted to be together. So we began to meet outside. So that's a really big part of my work. And then I teach classes here, there, and anywhere and everywhere. I also have had for years a sliding scale herbal practice, a clinical practice that people who graduate from the apprenticeship program can come and be a part of that. And that transitioned to online during the height of COVID, and I've kept it online. I've just found that to work well and be easier for me. So I have the clients, you know, herbal clients, but it's always for me about not just the physical healing. It's always about helping someone find their story, because storied beings, you know, we live by stories, whether we realize it or not, the stories we tell ourselves, the stories we accept that are told to us, and so on and so forth. So I've found that to be my particular gift in helping people in their healing, is helping them to unravel their story. And where whatever's going on physically makes sense, and how to then bring new story in, more expansive possibilities. But of course, working with plant medicine as well to ease and help the body heal is equally, you know, vitally important. It's just something that's where my leaning goes. And then I am not an herbalist who writes books. I'm a writer who's also an herbalist. So a lot of my energy goes into my writing. And really at this stage of my life, having been teaching for over 30 years, I am little by little transitioning so that I spend more time writing and less time teaching. I'm not stopping teaching at all, for sure, right? But I am just kind of shifting the balance. You know, what I also love to do, I know people can be listening to this at any time, and welcome to you, and I'm so glad you're listening to this conversation. We're recording it shortly after the equinox, the autumn equinox in the Northeast, and I love to do community rituals, so we just did one of those. Yeah, so classes, rituals, plant walk, and always, you know, harvesting, making medicine. The herbalism I'm interested in is herbalism that helps us reconnect to the earth and to, as you said, you know, develop those practical skills, right? Mm-hmm. I want to grow my own and other skills and wisdom, you know, and how we do this thing called life on earth. Mm-hmm. And how we do this thing, relationships. So I have found too that deepening into relationship with plants then translates out into better relations with other humans. Mm-hmm. And that was another surprising and delightful side effect of herbal medicine.
It's so, so true. You know, it's interesting. I think just hearing you speak the term or the concept that I've actually talked about on the podcast before of weaving ourselves back into the story of the earth and each other is one of the ways that I think about plant medicine and our work with plants and how we can be. Like, it's not just, you know, it is important and wonderful and everybody has their own direction. Like, I love that you talk about your own leanings with your practice, that you have these leanings towards working with people to kind of discover really like what their story is and how it makes sense in themselves and in the world. That's what I was receiving from you. And I think that is so important, and that we also, there are people who have leanings in different directions, right? So that's like, it's a beautiful thing that herbalism is so dynamic and so diverse. And I find it so important. The deepest piece for me has been in just paying attention to what's happening around me, like just mm-hmm. observing and being with the plant.
I agree 100% with what you said. I would just remove the word just.
Thank you. Yes. And actually with that piece, I would love, like, I feel like this is just a perfect segue to get into the book that you've written, the idea of removing the word just.
Yeah. Right. Like, words are potent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Words are potent. And I would like to acknowledge your new book, which is really full of a lot of what I can tell is some of the gifts that you bring to the world and your embodied wisdom.
Thank you. Yeah. So you're talking about A Green Witch's Pocketbook of Wisdom, Big Little Life Tips. Yes. So I'll tell you something fun. I mean, I'd love to hear any of the pages that, you know, or any of the wisdoms that particularly spoke to you, or if you have any questions about any of them. But before I do that, two things. One is I also just want to go back a minute and say, Kaya, I loved the way you said that about weaving your story into the story of the world. Did I get that right?
Yeah, weaving ourselves back into the story of the earth is...
Weaving ourselves back into the story of the world. I just wanted to say how much I loved that. Yeah, your way with words. And that clearly comes from your own experience. And then I had a fun thing. I love to practice bibliomancy. And I practiced it long before I knew there was a word for it. And very simply, bibliomancy is asking for a message from any book whatsoever, right? You might have a particular one you use a lot, but it could really be any, it could be a novel. Asking for a message, either just general from spirit or about a particular question, and then opening the book and seeing what you open to. And with this particular book, because it's a 4x6 pocketbook with basically like a line or two on each page and then a little explanatory paragraph, this really lends itself to that. So what I've been doing is I've been opening my book and like giving myself a reading for the day. And then just before you and I came together, you know, I closed up the book and I did it to see like a message for us for the podcast conversation. And out of 170 something pages, I opened to exactly the same message I had gotten for myself for the day. So I thought that was pretty magical. And the message is, the best way to get where you want to go is to practice being present where you are. Mm. The little explanation under it is, the plants are our best teachers of this. Deep-rooted plants offer a clear mirror of rooting to rise, of growing into ourselves from a place of presence. Mm. Yeah, so I wanted to share that because that's what I opened to for this conversation and for my day. You who are listening, you can't see the illustrations, but this book is also gorgeously illustrated by my friend Gail Stoughton, a local award-winning artist. So I was very fortunate to have her agree to do this book with me. Thank you for you know, bringing it up. The month of October, I'm in pre-launch mode, and it's very helpful to any author, the pre-order period. And my thank you for that, if anyone does, and I know you'll have the information with the show mm-hmm. notes, but I'll say it once that my thank you is, I wrote and designed a beautiful, truly beautiful booklet called Herbal Recipes to help with meditation, dreams, and deepening intuitive wisdom. And so it's beautiful recipes ranging from baths to soaks to teas, etc. I mean, that's my giveaway for people who ordered during October.
That sounds really lovely. It sounds like a really lovely gift to offer to folks who are going to receive this gift of the book in return as well. Yeah, really, really lovely. And I think one of the things that struck me when I was peering through the book that you had sent me was the illustrations like across every single page. So to be able to receive both the art, the beautiful art, and your lovely real pocket wisdom, those morsels, those little glimpses into this embodied wisdom, and to just be present, essentially, like what you just shared, that passage is perfect because mm-hmm. it is just cultivating presence.
And it also covers, you know, it covers a lot of different ground. And these are the practices and teachings that I continue to live by, that I, you know, that continue to grow me. Yeah, I like to say there is no there. There's no like there that you get to and then you're done, not while you're breathing, mm-hmm. right? So it's all about being, as you said, present right here. Mm-hmm. And then what you practice, like what do you want to focus on, right? We live in a time and when there are so many things calling on our attention, particularly to distract us from inner wisdom, to distract us from self-care, to distract us from empowerment and compassionate connection with community. There's not a lot of externals that are calling us into a healthy way of walking on the planet right now. And so everyone needs to find those things they can practice, those herbs they can drink, et cetera, you know, whatever it is that will help in claiming your own priorities, your own, you know, how you want to spend your time, whether it's an herbal bath or it's an herbal tea, or it's not only is it empowering to realize that nature wants to help you and loves you, but it's also makes life juicy and magical and more fun. I'm not saying every moment is.
No, of course. Not every moment is fun or magical. It doesn't feel that way. I mean, there's so many. I feel like you even speak to that in your book. You speak to, I can't remember exactly what the passages were, but there was something around like being in the place when things feel hard or when there's growth happening there. That kind of concept, I feel like, was coming through. Yeah, I love it. It feels like actually like one of the reflections that I had is that the book feels like a whole bunch. It's like an oracle card reading on every single page. So love the idea of like working with this book as a bibliomancy reservoir, essentially.
Many people have said, when is the deck coming out? Let uh-huh. me get a book out and then we'll talk about that. But you know, in line with what you just spoke to, I did it again. I opened the book and what I opened to was, we are always bringing our dreams and our nightmares into mm-hmm. being. We're just saying, right? And the explanatory text is, you are a powerful creator. What nightmare is it time to banish? What dream is it time to embrace? Actively, we are midwifing a new way of being in the world, a way of compassion and connection, of respect and justice. Together, We contribute to everything that becomes manifest.
It's amazing how powerful we are.
Yeah, it is. And to be able to learn to take responsibility rather than just to, you know, we're in a very hot, reactive time when there's just a lot of that. It's contagious. It's very easy to pick that up on the winds. I mean, there's just so many elements to how we need to learn to work wisely with our own energy. It is fortunate that though it's not always easy, to say the least, it does bring more joy. It does bring more peace. It does bring more sense of inner freedom. So the rewards are, it's worth it, is what I'm saying, is it's worth the work. We're worth the work.
We are worth the work. I love that. Yeah, you're just so full of wisdom and so articulate, and I really appreciate just your eloquence. If you're open to sharing, because I know, like you said, that the name of the book is The Green Witch's Pocket. Can you remind me of the name?
Yeah. A Green Witch's Pocketbook of Wisdom, Big Little Life Tips.
Along those lines, the concept of a green witch is very curious to me, partly because I know that so many people are kind of afraid of the word witch. I would just love to hear how you came into a place where you are embodying that term and you're choosing it as a title too.
Yeah, embracing it. Well, you know, it was a choice back when I was getting going. I don't care that much, to be honest, about labels. It's not essential to me how I identify myself. But having said that, right, because I very much feel like a citizen of the universe. But having said that, one of the ways that healers, especially women, have historically been silenced is by being called a witch. And so it was a very deliberate owning of that name. And at that time, it wasn't like the cool, popular thing that it is now. All these witch shows and a million, you know, witch things on TikTok and Instagram and what all of this, right? But it was a very specific thing. And well-meaning people would come up to me, I can remember this, you know, like after class and kind of whisper to me, like, you could be so successful if you just didn't use that word, like you would be, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like, oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I hear you. More socially acceptable, more comfortable, right, for news outlets and what have you. But again, it was deliberate, the choice, because that way, if somebody said, you're a witch, I would say, yeah, I know, right? It's all over my website and my books and my this and my that. So it was a way to defang it. It was a way to unweaponize. So, you can't accuse me of something I've already named and owned. So that was a piece of it. Another is the Green Witch is really kind of an affectionate term for an herbalist,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's not just an herbalist, because as you and I were saying, there's lots of kinds of herbalists. It's a person who is really connected to the magic of, I would say, reality. Right. But the magic of nature and the way that that could be expressed could be as an herbalist, could be as an artist, could be as a gardener, could be as a, you know what I mean? There's so many ways you could enact that magical relationship. But so those are a couple of the things I was thinking about at the time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, at a certain point, it was just, well, that's what's out in the world. There's no point in changing it now.
I love it. I love it for the reasons that you shared. And it also feels like it's just really bold. It's just a bold statement and something that people, there's also this way that somebody might feel attracted or repelled. And that's probably appropriate for those folks to feel like those that are attracted are going to be more attracted towards that kind of magical feeling, that connection that you're speaking of, and those that might be repelled are just like, that's just not the right path for them.
Right. The only thing that I would, you know, truth is one, paths are many, as they say in Integral Yoga's tradition, Swami Satchitananda's tradition. The only thing I would speak caution against is the understandable tendency to want to just take herbs and kind of switch out pharmaceuticals and just put herbs in their place.
Mm-hmm.
That is not going to serve our health, although it might in the short run, but it's not going to further our collective healing. What we need is the paradigm shift that herbal medicine can offer to us this paradigm shift of kinship that we've talked about, you know, basically like indigenous wisdom. I often find that indigenous wisdom and green witch wisdom are so aligned, you know, just so woven, different particular practices, of course, right, or associations, but essential underlying, everything is sentient. Everything deserves respect. Things aren't just yours to take. These are all the same. Mm-hmm. So when I do see herbalism being practiced as if you just substitute motherwort for your cramps instead of Advil or mm-hmm. or what have you, it's not enough. Mm-hmm. It's just not enough. So having said I caution about it, I'm not saying it's not okay to start there, right? Mm-hmm. Because wherever someone is into the path, the plants are going to almost inevitably open them up. Mm-hmm. The way they've opened you up, the way they opened me up, right? The way they opened my mom up, my dad, mm-hmm. my brother. They just do. They just mm-hmm. do. And one of my teachers who I didn't spend lots of time with, and I never went to her home, but whenever I got to be with her, she influenced me enormously, was an Anishinaabe elder at the time, now ancestor, Kiwe Dinokwe. And she said, of all the beings of the earth, the plants have remained truest to their original instructions from mm-hmm. Creator, which mm-hmm. was to give of themselves for the benefit of all beings. And I find that to be true. And I do think part of the paradigm shift is also, and I really hope this is so, the old school is sort of like, you're the healer, so how you are doesn't matter, give until you drop. Mm. And I think we can't have that anymore. The paradigm now is walk your talk and take care of yourself, and also you as the healer, you must know how to ask for help and be vulnerable. You matter too. Everyone matters. Like, I can't teach that this person who's come to me matters and they need to learn how to say no because it's destroying their nervous system to say yes to everything and everyone if I'm not doing that, mm-hmm. if I'm burning myself out. Obviously, I feel strongly about that. I feel like this paradigm shift is something that we're in a good position to help bring about. And the only way we can do it is by actually walking it.
Mm, yes. Yes. 1,000%. And it's a constant journey too. In my experience, at least, of yeah. actually walking the talk, actually doing the things I know would be helpful for me.
Right. If you find yeah. that you're only telling other people and you're not doing it, then that's a mirror. Yes. And that's a time to honestly and ideally compassionately say, okay, how can I shift? Because this mm-hmm. isn't, I don't want to be incoherent. I don't want to be saying one thing and doing another, or telling you to do something and not doing it myself. I mean, early on, I remember looking up at some moment saying to myself, I'm suddenly seeing that the only time I'm brewing herbal tea is when I have a class. Yeah. I'm not making tea. Why, you know, so it's not a straight line. It's a spiral. Everything mm-hmm. in nature and the way our paths are spiraling. So we go around that spiral, we come to places where we're like, I'm all there, you know, I'm doing it, you know, and then you inevitably will come to those places where you either, you know, some things happen, you shut down, or you are hard on yourself and it takes you a while to see it, that you're not being very kind, you know, whatever it is, growth doesn't happen in a straight line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's real. And just to have that awareness in ourselves, so that we can reflect that to our clients or to our students or to people who we're working with is so important.
Yeah, because it makes it safe to be human.
Yes, exactly.
Not perfect. And so many times people think if they're not doing something perfectly or exactly how you told them to, that they shouldn't do it at all. And that's just a self-defeating thing. And, you know, I always joke and say, you know, stop trying to be perfect, because if you get there, you know, you're not going to have any friends. Nobody's going to want to know you. And of course, it's just a losing proposition. It's so not the point.
Well, you just brought up just before this, just the concept of us all, life being innately a spiral. And I also think of cycles in relationship to that. And I feel like that is a beautiful reflection actually of us, those of us who have wombs or womb spaces, like how we in our lifetime are moving through different phases and how things change. And I know that when we were preparing for this conversation, we were talking about the idea of you sharing from a place of heading towards elder as a person who has connected to your own womb mm-hmm. wisdom over time. And so I'm curious how your relationship with your womb space has changed over time.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? So at a certain point earlier, not having a real relation or sense of this as like a, you know, certainly as a place of sacredness, mm-hmm. right? It was just there, you mm-hmm. know, in painful periods or whatever, right? To then coming into this whole ancient yet new notion of this being like a sacred space, that was a beautiful thing. And so at those years, this was so central to my sense of myself. It was very, very much the essential, central thing. And, you know, the cycles would influence my timing with things, right? And of course, you know, being reminded of timing every time my flow would come. First of all, falling, you know, in love with being in a woman's body, being introduced to the idea that the flow of lifeblood from my body was a sacred thing. That was huge. And then, interestingly, so I did not choose to become a mother of a child. Instead, I am busy popping out books, laboring and midwifing and birthing books. So that was a very particular choice on my part. I absolutely could have had physical children, and I didn't. That was not an extremely difficult thing for me, as it is for some. Like, I know some make that decision and feel a lot of pressure or feel, you know, something's wrong. It just wasn't for me. I always felt sovereign in that choice. Because then what I wanted to talk about was moving into what I call menopause. Moving into menopause, which happened over time, which is what happens when it's not induced through surgery or pharmaceuticals or some kind of extreme stressor. Over those years, it was very disorienting, very disorienting. The timing, the rhythm was all different. The predictability was not there. I felt even more concerned as a woman engaged in heterosexual intercourse about pregnancy, like the body going like, hey, it's now or never. Let's, you know what I mean? So that mm-hmm. was like a stressor, and just not knowing when I'd bleed. But I was so happy that I had information about the vast range of what normal was. Otherwise, I might have thought I was dying, you know, right? Because I bled a lot and I had rest lumps for the first time. And I basically approached it as, this is all normal. This is all part of a rite of passage. And one of the hardest parts was, the heavy, heavy bleeding was sometimes hard. I didn't know as much herbally as I know now. That could maybe have helped that more. Or maybe it's just what I needed to do. I'm not sure. But the mental shifts were really challenging. I just said on another summit the other day, I said, you know, when my students who were like the apprentices who were coming in a few particular years of my menopause were there, I said to them, I know they thought I was joking, but I wasn't really joking. I said, you know, you happen to have come to me at a time when I don't know anything anymore. So that's just the way it is. So, you know, if you need to leave, I understand. And if you're willing to go with that, that's just what's going on right now. And it was how I felt. My mental processes were absolutely shifting. It was very much almost like being a teenager. Hormones were running the show, and it was absolutely disorienting. And then I became rather disconnected from my womb. Mm-hmm. Like for quite a few years, I realized that I just didn't feel connected. I didn't feel disconnected, but I didn't feel connected. It was just like different. And I knew that I needed to find ways to mark my time, right? Because I like to say, instead of, you know, how they say your time of the month, I say it's your time of the month, your time. So I needed to find ways to mark my time. My body wasn't reminding me like to turn in and tune in, which I did through my sacred menstruating years. And now I feel very connected. So it's really interesting. It's there's that spiral. Right? Mm-hmm. There's that spiral. And I relate much more now, though I think it's always true. I really relate to this notion I have that women have two hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And the womb and the, or whether you call yourself something else and help me out with that, but the heart muscle and the uterine, right? The uterus and the heart are both these incredibly powerful organs that contract and expand and contract and expand. So they're like the breath flowing in and out. They're like the ocean flowing out to the rise and then back to the shore. They contract and expand. And that's another powerful mirror for life itself, right? We contract and then we expand and then we expand and then we contract. For me, it's very much womb, moon, moon, womb, womb, moon, moon, womb. To me, that the deepest, strongest connection that these tides are in me. And I feel that oceanic moon, womb connection very strongly. So after these few years of feeling less connected, now I feel more so, but in a way where it was vital that I took time for myself. Now it's more like this potency of having a second generative heart is like this that can incubate creative in any way I wish. This is now to be used in a larger way of joyful service. This is now for gathering my energy and strength and power and the inner girl, woman, elder, right? Because now I feel like now I'm all of it, right? Whereas before I was growing into the other phases, now I have braided them all together and can be of the most fully engaged.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for sharing all of that, your whole journey, really. I think it's very rare that people have the space to share about their relationship to their womb throughout their life. So I just really appreciate you sharing all of that.
Yeah. And thank you for asking me and giving me a chance to articulate it, because it wasn't in any way a planned response, but I felt the truth of it as I was sharing it. And also that this is what my other, sometimes I call it the early stages, like budding baby cronets and the crones and crones. Right. This is what we can be and stand as for the youngers, to have something exciting to look to become and grow into and own, like their own, your own, their own mantle of personal authority, personal gifts, personal power, however, you know, whatever words like kind of feel good in your body. I sometimes hesitate to say power because our association with that has been so skewed by dominator culture. Power means you're going to abuse. Power means you're going to hurt others. So Twyla Nitch, a Seneca elder, I had the good fortune to meet when she was still breathing and walking the planet. She suggested the word gifts. So I like that, right? To own your gifts. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually one of the wisdoms in the pocketbook, actually, right? Mm-hmm. Is own your power doesn't land right. Then own your gifts, because everybody has gifts to share and we need all of them. Like I really feel like women need to become more confident immediately, or to act even with all the fears, which is something I've certainly always done and probably always will, you know, is just to do it anyway, to dare it anyway, to risk it anyway, because we don't have time to mess around. Like we are being brought down by our own complacency. And if we could bring it back to the herbs, what I so love and appreciate is they've helped me. I know they've helped you, and they've helped so many to become healthier so that we have the energy to take on what's ours to take on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In the larger healing. And so we need empowered people to stand up and say no to the things that are killing everything.
I agree with you. I think both the plants, and I think it is also in cultivating that relationship with the earth. Like I personally, if I'm looking for strength, if I'm feeling weaker, I will go outside barefoot if I can be and connect myself to the earth, and I will feel stronger. And then the same thing with connecting with my womb space. It's the same thing. I will go there. I will go to my womb for strength and like you were saying, that creative energy is there throughout. Yes. Like when we're in our cycling years, it's really obvious that it's there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that energy is always there no matter where we are in our phases of life. So yeah.
Absolutely. And going outside is inexpensive. You don't have to file insurance. It's accessible to absolutely, well, maybe not absolutely everyone. But if you're bedridden, then have someone bring a plant in and put it next to your bed in a vase, right? There's always a way to connect with nature because we are nature. I'm going to read a tiny bit from my first book, Healing Magic, A Greenwich Guidebook to Conscious Living. And this is from the updated version. So I added, among other things, I added an afterword to it because, you know, I wrote it originally in 2004, and then the updated version came out in 2014. So this is very short, but I do want to read it to you. I dig my feet into the cool autumn earth, snuggling them underneath the soft yielding soil of the garden bed. Standing silently in the dirt for a few moments, I feel clean, cleansed, cleared of trepidation and anxiety. I feel myself relaxing, breathing easier. As I lift my feet out of the soil, they feel silky, not at all what I'd expected. My skin feels renewed and tender like a baby's. And like a baby, I feel a sense of innocence and wonder, a sense of curiosity and openness to life. Simply miraculous. This must be the most accessible mental health care plan imaginable.
1,000%. Yeah, I actually have a whole podcast episode. It was an interview with someone from last year, and she dove into a lot of nature connection and the science behind it, but also her embodied experience of it. She's been kind of a wilderness skills instructor for a long time. And I feel like it's unreal. Not only like even, I don't know why we need to learn all the science around it because it's so embodied and so obvious, but it's also like, yeah, it's helpful to have some of that so that people will choose it.
Uh-huh. The ease. And some people do need the science, you know, and that's why there's all different kinds of teachers and practitioners, right? And if you want to go to a nature guide and you do forest bathing as a program, okay. You know, it's like whatever it takes, right? Or you listen to someone who knows all about which pheromones are coming off of the pine tree, and that makes you feel, you know, more open to walking outside. Great. Okay. It's the same thing with the plant. If knowing, okay, if Kaya says this motherwort will help your premenstrual anxiety and that's all you need, then great. You go and you take it. But somebody else may want you to tell them about the leonorine in it, and that will make them more comfortable. You know, well, it's a, you know, an antispasmodic that will help your uterus relax when it's tight. So yeah, whatever it takes, like whatever the entry point is, it leads to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just part of who we are as humans, is that we all have different lenses that we see through. And so the lens that works for some of us might be different for other people. So I love that. One thing around motherwort, it just brings it right back to that womb heart connection you were talking about. I feel like motherwort is such a perfect plant to kind of exhibit that connection.
Yeah, I'm about to put up some motherwort leaves and stalks in vinegar. Because I will often use motherwort as a tincture. I don't particularly tend towards the tea as it's, I like bitters, but that one's like really bitter.
I agree. And I'm always really surprised that people have that in tea blends because I'm just like, yeah, it doesn't taste good.
I kind of like to take my bitters in my food more than in my teas, unless it's something I really need. But anyway, I'm sitting here petting a motherwort leaf even as we speak. And it reminded me of something I completely forgot, which is how kind of furry it is. I really love that. I love this, right? So I've been playing with motherwort, you know, for 35 years. And it's like, oh yeah, I forgot it's furry. So, you know, it's the truth is new. You discover it again and again. But anyway, I'm putting it up in some vinegar, apple cider vinegar, just simple, chopping the leaves, covering them with apple cider vinegar and letting them sit for a month or two, because I just want to be able to use it more in food. And it actually tastes really good. That bitter mixed with the vinegar kind of works. And I love vinegar medicines. And you said, you know, you go outside if you're feeling off. I'm sitting here also with an oak leaf. And I talk a lot in many of my presentations about this grandmother, grandfather oak that I go to for counsel, messages, solace, strengthening, grounding, you name it. And so that's another thing I really encourage is for people to find like a guardian tree that you want to bring a gift to and you want to connect with and just have that kind of be your place of connection. And if we'd like to tie it in with your overarching topic of womb wisdom and womb health and all, maybe there's one that really connects you to that place in yourself and into that kind of psychic umbilicus that goes from there into the earth, connects you in that way to the living earth. But I do love this oak tree so very much. And one of the great messages I got from the oak was that joy is medicine. That's a really great teaching that the oak has given me. And then I also have here a piece of a nice sprig of rosemary. And rosemary is such an underestimated herb for us. Rosemary really aids circulation and the heart so beautifully. So I just want to give a quick mention, a shout out for Rosmarinus officinalis, dew of the sea rosemary. It's a beautiful plant and has wonderful medicine for us. You know, whether we're using her as a steam or as a hair rinse for healthy scalp and hair, or a tea to help our hearts, or a general circulatory tonic, which is always good for all of us to help our circulation.
Mm-hmm. Especially to the womb space as well. If we're thinking about circulation, sometimes a plant like rosemary can support just encouraging more circulation overall throughout our entire body, but also to our pelvis. So yeah, I actually sometimes add rosemary into tea blends or into formulas if it feels like the right plant for a person who has some kind of stagnation in their pelvis too.
Absolutely. Because, you know, what I like to think of is that whatever the spirit medicine of a plant is, is it's going to have a mirror in its physical medicine. Well, okay. Two different thoughts competed in my mind. They came out together. But the other example I wanted to give was plants that tend to help the heart help the womb, and the plants that help the womb help the heart. So there's that mirroring, that like metaphorical connection they have is also matched physically via the plants.
Yes.
Right? Like we could be thinking about rose, and we could say the same thing. Roses nourish heart and they nourish the womb. Yeah, so there's a lot of that. And then I have a particular recipe that a lot of people really, really love. I do love it too, called A to Z oil, Artemisia de Zingiber. It's just two herbs and the beautiful olive oil. So it's Artemisia vulgaris, otherwise known as mugwort, sometimes called cronewort, and ginger made into an infused oil that you can either cook the oil or you can steep it. And that makes an absolutely gorgeous womb rub. And that's in my other book, the kind of herbal tome, The Gift of Healing Herbs. I mean, people can see all these things on my site, but there's a lot of recipes in that book. And that's one. And then the other thing is, I have to say, though, is you'll want to make two bottles. You'll want to make one for your kitchen, because it actually tastes amazing on food as well. Mm-hmm. So you'll want to put it on your pasta, not just over your womb.
I love that so much, so much. I mean, mugwort is a deep ally of mine, and I love ginger too. So are you working with fresh ginger when you're making that, or do you dried in your oil?
In that one, I do 1.5 cups of dried Artemisia leaves and stalks, if fresh, 2.5 to 3 cups. And then I use 1 cup of fresh ginger and 1 quart of olive oil. Mm-hmm. And I basically cover the herbs with the oil and heat them slowly, like really slowly. And then I take off the cover and stir it. And I do this on and off for a few hours. Mm-hmm. And then basically let it sit overnight and do it ultimately for about 3 days. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a hurry, you can take it out sooner. But basically that's what I do, is I cook it super, super slow over a few days, because steeping fresh ginger in olive oil is one of those that will really tend to go off.
Probably water content in there.
So I do fresh because the dry ginger is too hot. I like the warming of the artemisia and the warming of the ginger. Use the fresh, and that's how I make it. I will confess, I had to look it up in my book. I never make anything the same, but that's what I wrote here. I wrote, crumble up the mugwort, cranewort leaves, and cut up the stalks and grate the ginger. And just put everything in the pot, cover it with the oil, and heat it slowly, and then stir it periodically, and then turn off the heat and let it sit for a few hours, and then keep repeating. And you just start, you have to be careful not to let it boil. Like if it has a tiny bit of bubbles that happened because you got distracted, don't throw it out. I only said that because one of my apprentices literally just wrote me and asked me, do I have to throw it out? It bubbled. Like, no, no. But you don't want to like go and get on your email and get, you know, completely distracted. You have to pay attention if you're going to make it the oil like that. Mm. And it's beautiful. You'll love it, Kaya.
I'm going to make it.
Yeah, one for the kitchen and one for the womb care.
Yay. Thank you so much for sharing that recipe and also just the directions on it, because I know that there's other folks out there who will be curious as well. And yeah, I was wondering about the fresh versus dried ginger, because I do think of fresh ginger, that lovely warming. And I also like this recipe because it's like slow medicine. It's like, it also requires presence and connection.
Yeah, right. Right, you are.
I love that. It kind of brings it back to that first bibliomancy reading that you did. So I feel like we are kind of heading towards the end of our time. I'm curious if you have anything specific other than what we've shared that you'd like to share before we dive into how people can connect with you.
Yeah, thank you. I would. There's actually, the last I checked, there's 3 spaces left in an amazing retreat that I'm doing October 21st and 22nd in Portugal, called The Magic, Mystery, and Medicine of Trees. And so, as I said, there's just a few spaces left. If it calls you, you know, come. I know you're going to put a link for me. So if that calls you, come. And then also, wherever you may be listening to this, I will be offering a couple of new online courses in early 2024, one through the Shift Network and then another through the New York Open Center, which is, I believe, rebirthing itself, which is very exciting to those of us here. And then besides that, I would simply say, check out, I'm on all those usual places, you know, and sign up for my newsletter if you want to get recipes and rituals and you know, I don't just like use it to say, come to this class. I also put some pretty great content in. So that's easy to do, just the home page of my website. And this week I birthed a brand new website, Robin Rose Bennett Books. So ooh. I have my other site. Yeah, yeah, it's really exciting. I've been working on that for a while and it's really beautiful. So it literally just launched a couple of days ago from when we're recording. That's it. That's what I wanted to say is, you know, I'd love to. I don't know. And I'm just taking, I want to take a moment just to, like, I'm feeling, I think I'm feeling into the future, like people listening to this over time. And I just want to kind of say that I'm envisioning a beautiful, sacred circle gathered around us, and that we're gathering it together with one another, wherever we are in time and space when you're hearing me say this. And that with us are our plant allies and our trees and our animals and our guides and guardians, and just encouraging us. I want to encourage you, as I feel all of us being encouraged, to really own, right, the sacredness of our own being and our creativity, and to join our energies together, because none of us can bring the healing that our world needs on our own. We truly need one another. And each of our unique gifts are as important as a spoke in a wheel, right? And so we're a great wheel, and to keep it turning, we all need to own who we really are and dare to be it in the world together.
Wow. Holy drop in wisdom. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Robin Rose. I am so, so grateful for everything that you've shared today. truly you are bringing your gift. You are bringing your gifts, but also your gift, like this great gift that you have. So thank you so much for, yeah, just being so open to sharing some of your womb story and some of the story of how Rose came into your name and just honoring the lineage too.
Yeah. But listen, since I said about Rose, I have to say that on my mother's side, my great grandmother was an herbalist and her name was Esther. And I had been an herbalist for about a decade when I found that out.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So and I thank you for you and your work and your play and your authenticity and all that you're doing and being. So thank you so much to you too, Kaya. Kaya Lea. I want to say your whole name, Kaya Lea. You're beautiful.
Thank you.
Woo woo! You made it to the end of the interview. Thanks for sticking around, hanging out for that entire time. I hope that you received so much. I really feel like Robin Rose brought so many beautiful drops of wisdom that she really, they're very embodied. It's like how she lives and is in the world. And she's just sharing, I mean, really sharing her gift, right? Like that's what we talked about so many times in the episode. And I guess I want to just put it out there. I mean, in listening to this, did you have any insights? Did you have any sensations of your own gift or your own gifts that you might be holding back? Are there ways that you could envision yourself bringing those into the world, whatever the heck they are, like something that's that deep inner knowing? Maybe it's coming from a sense in your womb space or your heart space, that connection between your womb and your heart, or somewhere else, just your creativity. Like, what does that look like for you? I guess I just want to put that invitation out since we dove so deeply into it during the conversation. So as always, all of the links, all of Robin Rose's links to the book, to pre-order that book, and to her Portugal retreat, and to her website and her social media, all of those links will be on the show notes page at herbalwomb.com/episode89, herbalwomb.com/episode89. And another thing I wanted to mention is actually that if you heard, I thought what was really interesting, one of the things that I thought was interesting is during Robin Rose's description of her womb story, she was talking about her perimenopausal years and how erratic and irregular her cycle was and how she just couldn't trust that same rhythm that was expected and predictable to be there. And I just want to encourage that coming up, I am going to be having later this fall, I'm going to be launching a natural contraception course, which will help you to feel a lot more confident if you're interested in diving into that yourself, a lot more confident in working with your own cycle and your own body, tracking your cycle, and also our herbal allies to support a natural contraception kind of program for yourself. I will be doing that. But in the meantime, if you do want to start to learn to track your cycle, even just get the basics of it, I do have a free guide that if you don't have it yet, you can grab at herbalwomb.com/track-your-cycle. herbalwomb.com/track-your-cycle, and you could get started sooner than later. And honestly, it's those perimenopausal years that are even more important to be cycle tracking and to be paying attention to your symptoms, to be like symptom tracking as your cycle tracking, to really get a sense of what is going on in your body. Because once you ovulate, you always know, oh, well, you'll know your ovulation symptoms, but also you'll know, oh, I've ovulated. So I am going to be bleeding, you know, within 10 or 15 days, depending on how long your luteal phase is. So these are all things that you can learn about your own body if you are not already tracking your cycle. And absolutely, I think, especially in our earlier years of cycling and throughout when we're trying to conceive or when we're postpartum or in our perimenopausal years, tracking our cycles just gives us so much information and confidence in our bodies. It is like so empowering. It's so empowering to feel a sense of relationship with our bodies and trustworthiness of our bodies. All right. And if there is anything in this episode that you absolutely loved, if you feel like you know anybody who would benefit from hearing this episode or the wisdom, any of the wisdom that Robin Rose shared, then please share the episode. That could be individually in a DM or a text message with somebody that you know would love it. Or it could be publicly on social media. It could be, and if you do share it on Instagram, especially tag me at Herbal Womb Wisdom so I can see. I love that. And You can share it with your email list. You can share it wherever you want to. This is you can share it word of mouth too. Whatever you would like to do to get this into the hands and the ears and the hearts and the minds of people who would really benefit from hearing it. Okay, friends, I feel like this is enough for today. You've been here for a while. I am so grateful. I'm so grateful to share this time with you. I really am. It's such an honor. It's a pleasure. And look at us. Look at us weaving this world that is connected to our wombs and to the earth and to ourselves, like the deeper inner wisdom in ourselves. That's what it's all about. So I'm grateful to be here with you doing that. Until next time, live well, connect deeply.